phone or your iPad, however, whatever you use to read the Word of God. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter number 3. I'm going to read about 7 verses, then we'll pray, see what the Lord would say to us, what He would challenge us with today. How many of you need to hear a word from the Lord? Say yes. How many need to be challenged by the Word? Say yes. About half of you said yes to that one. Because the Word always challenges us. Can I hear a good amen? And that's a good thing. We need to be challenged. I need to be challenged. And so this, I'll be honest with you, this message today, I'm telling you right up front, challenges me in a big, big way. And if you're honest, I think it's probably going to challenge you as well. So Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse number 14, says this: "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that God would grant to you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Holy Spirit, we ask You to speak to us today. We need to hear from You. We need to be encouraged. We need to be challenged. Holy Spirit, help me to preach this message, and it will speak it in a way that it's easy to understand. Help me to speak it in a way that it is anointed, and it will touch every heart and every mind in this place. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive this, to hear it, and to apply it. We love You in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So I love this guy, Paul. And the first thing I want to talk to you about this guy, Paul, today is he starts out and he says, "I bow my knees to the Father." We talked a little bit about this last Sunday, but just the idea of him bowing his knees to the Father, it shows this, that he takes a position of humility. That he takes a position of humility. Can I just challenge you? Can I just tell you today that we need to have humble hearts, humble attitudes, and humble minds as we walk through this earth? As I look everywhere I look nowadays, in young people, in college people, in married people, in elderly people, as I see people that are saved, as I see people that are in the church, there is this air of arrogance in our world today, that I am deserve this, that I am entitled, that I am better than you. This group looks down on this group, and this political party thinks they're better than this political party, and this kind of lifestyle looks down on this kind of lifestyle. Can I just remind you of something, that none of us have anything of any eternal value without Jesus Christ? And Paul realizes everything he's got. Come on, y'all. That good-looking woman you got, trust me, it ain't your looks that got her. Come on, somebody. That husband you got that works and that provides and that does all that, you didn't get him because you was cute and you wore the right kind of clothes and you was blonde-headed. Now, the parents that you have, you don't get everything we got is a gift from God. And when we understand that, we will fall down with a spirit of humility and go, "God, I give you all the praise." Because how many of you know, the Bible said God is close to those that have a broken and contrite spirit. Those that are humble. God says He resists the prideful, but He exalts those that are humble. I'm just telling you, I want to challenge you here today. I dare you to make up in your mind right now, I'm going to walk in the spirit of humility this next week. I'm going to walk in the spirit of humility. Can I just tell you, your marriage will go to the next level if you'll just be humble towards your wife. Just be humble. I'm not going to try to prove her wrong. I'm not going to try to prove myself right. I'm not going to try. No. Towards your husband. No. Just be humble. Just be humble. Be humble to your children. Be humble to your parents. Be humble to your friends. Can I take it a little step further? Be humble with your enemies. because you make me mad and you tick me off and you're wrong and I'm right and I've done it over and over again and I am not going to walk in humility. I'm going to throw my faith. I'm going to prove to you, by God, I'm right and you're wrong. Just humble yourself. Who cares who wins the argument? Who cares who the winner is? I'm going to tell you who the winner is. The winner is the one that places their faith in Jesus Christ and bows their knees before the Father. That's who wins, not who wins the argument. Just be humble. Just walk in humility. Paul bows his knee. He goes, wow. Paul understood this. He goes, you know what? He goes, I'm the worst of all these apostles. He goes, of all these people that wrote books in the Bible, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, of all these people, of James, of Peter, of all these guys, Paul goes, I'm the least of all of them because I committed more sins and I was the worst of the worst and I persecuted the church and I didn't deserve anything, but God gave me grace. He goes, wow. And now Paul says this, not only did you give me grace, but now you have given me this task to share this grace with a lost and a hurting world. Can I tell you something today? What God has done in your life is not just for you. What God has done, God didn't save you. God didn't deliver you. God didn't forgive you. God didn't pick you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to stay so you could post yourself there like a parrot on Nam and proclaim how good God has been to you. God did it to you, so now he wants to use you to go into the school system, to use you to go into the cowboy world, to use you to go wherever you go to let others see the glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ. Paul goes, not only did he save me, now he's going to use me to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul understood this. Here's something we don't understand and we don't often talk about. Paul understood eternity. You ever think about that word for a moment? Eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. If I'm really honest with you, with the recent stuff in the news, with the recent prophecy unfolding, with the wars in Jerusalem, with America in turmoil like she is and like she's never been before, in my mind, I've been thinking a little bit about eternity. And you and I have got to get to this place where we move beyond what's happening right now and what's happening in the next couple of years. We have to move beyond. We have to understand that we are eternal beings. We have to understand that our body is perishing, that our body is growing older and passing away, but we are spiritual beings and we may be in this world, but we are not of this world. And we need to understand that everything we do has eternal implications. Eternity, y'all. Paul understood that I'm going to write this book now and for generations to come, people are going to be changed. People are going to give their life to Jesus Christ. Their eternal destination is going to be changed. But Paul said, because what I'm doing right now, what I'm doing right now, can I just tell you what you're doing right now has eternity tied to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 11 says, God has made everything appropriate in its time. He has set eternity in our hearts. Eternity. Can I just take a moment and tell you? When you teach kids up at that college, it's not just tied to a textbook. Eternity is tied to how we live and how we act. When you put on a rodeo, eternity. When you position yourself and you walk in the character of God, when you raise some beef, when you haul some propane, when you do what you do, when you go where you go, when you raise some steers, when you go into the college campus, eternity is tied to how you act. Eternity is tied to the way that you live your life because people see you, and if they believe in Jesus Christ through his good works in our life, their eternity is changed. The way you parent your kids, It's not just right now. Don't just be the cool parent who lets your kids do all the cool things so that everybody will want to come to your child's house. Eternity is tied to that. Eternity, when you raise your kids, can I tell you, the way that Jennifer and I live our lives and position our lives is tied to Will and tied to Jesse and tied to Clara and how they will raise up their children and how generational curses will be broken and how my children's children's children will accept Jesus Christ because of the way that we started this journey out. What you do has eternity tied to it. When you understand that, you will serve with a little bit more passion and a little bit more excellence. Can I hear a good amen? That a boy. Paul said, I'm going to hit my knees and I'm going to pray for the church. That's what Paul says, I'm praying for the church. How many of you know? Church needs prayer. That's me and you. Don't get arrogant on me. How many know the church needs prayer? I saw this, Sage sent me this deal this week on Instagram. And I never won't forget it. It said, if Paul came to our churches, we would be getting a letter from Paul. Paul went to the churches and they were entertaining homosexuality and they were entertaining divorce and they were entertaining this kind of sexual problem. And Paul wrote him a letter and said, you better get back to the straight and narrow. We need prayer. The church in America needs prayer. Paul said, I'm praying for the church. And he said, I'm praying for the church that the church would be strengthened by the Spirit of God to be on their inner being. Their inner being. How many of you know we need to be strengthened on the inside? We need to be strengthened in our spirit, strengthened in our mind, strengthened in our soul. We worry a lot about what's happening on the outside. Can we be real? Jesse Pate goes to the gym like every day. I'm like, what in the crap can you be doing at the gym that long every day? And then I see him come out of the shower and I look at him and I go, I know what he's been doing in there now. He's built like a daddy. Just saying, he has muscle on muscle on muscle on muscle. And we worry a lot about what's going on the outside. But how many of you know more important than what the outside looks like is how strong we are in our inner spirits. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, let's be honest. How many of you know your outer man is decaying? And it ain't what it used to be. Come on, somebody. You're a little fluffier than you used to be. Can I get a witness? You got a little more here and a little more there. You know what I'm saying? A little muffin top, a little spare tire. Come on, somebody. A little junk in the trunk, you know? Our outer man, it just is what it is. The older we get, some of you walk like this nowadays. Billy Lamb, he shuffles along. You know what I mean? He used to hop, skip, jump. Billy Maher, he used to jump two swings. He cold trailed one to the back end right here now like this. Our outward man is perishing, but our inward man, our spirit, our faith, our character, our conviction, our hope, it should be getting stronger every day that we live. Every day that we live. The older we get, the longer we live, the more we serve Christ, the longer we're in this game, the more that we pray, the stronger we should be getting on the inside. That should be our goal. Why did Paul pray for the church to be stronger in their inner man? What was he praying specifically for? Let's read the scripture and see. Ephesians 3:17. Paul said, I pray that your inner man would be strengthened through the Spirit of God so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and that you would be rooted and grounded in love. Paul said, I'm praying for the church to be stronger on the inside so they can stay rooted in love. Everybody say, love. Because how many of you know we need to be rooted in the love of Christ? In the love of Jesus Christ. In the love, we got to be rooted into, grounded into love. That challenged me when I thought about that. Paul prays for us to be strong on the inside, not so that we can kung fu the devil, not so that we can storm the gates of hell, not so that we can do it. He said, I'm praying for you to be strong so you can keep loving me and keep loving others. Wow. Be rooted in love. I think about roots, man. In West Texas, I think about the roots of the trees. Roots of the trees. Roots of the trees, you know. The strongest trees that can withstand the most storms, and the strongest trees that can withstand the biggest shock of the freeze or the shock of the hot summer, are the ones that have the greatest root system. Sassafras tree, maybe the strongest roots ever. I don't know why. I just like saying sassafras, so I told you that. The walnut tree, the hickory tree. You see, the overall growth of the tree is dependent upon the size of the roots. And when you plant a tree, they don't show much growth the first few years. They don't produce much fruit the first couple of years that they're planted. Because even a tree knows that before I can blossom and before I can look good and produce a lot of fruit, I got to dig down and I got to work these roots down until I can tap into the nourishing soil, until I can tap into the water. And if I get a root system down below, baby, you better look out, because I'm coming up top and I'm going to produce more fruit this season than I did in the previous season. And if you and I are going to be more productive in the next season, if you and I are going to produce more fruit in our marriage, if we're going to produce more fruit in our spiritual journey, we got to quit worrying about looking pretty up top, and we got to start working on our root system. Come on, somebody. Root system. Because here's what happens. This is the sad truth. Sad truth is, some people come to Christ. They hear about the love of Christ. They hear about the grace of God, the mercy of God. Miracles happen when you move. And God, you're so good. And so we show up and boom, we spring up with joy. But we don't ever work on our root system, and we don't ever get tapped into love. And Jesus tells us what happens then. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. He tells the story of the parable of the guy sowing seeds. Mark 4. 16 and 17, it says, Jesus said, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seeds were sown into rocky places, and they hear the word of God, boom, and immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no firm root in themselves, and they are only temporary. Then, when affliction and persecution arises, immediately they fall away. Can I tell you the sad truth of being a pastor for almost 23 years? You see a lot of people that come to Jesus and they're excited. Their life sucks. Their marriage sucks. Their finances are absolutely in the dump. They have no self-worth. The mistakes of their past are totally defining them. And they hear the good words and they spark up and they're full of joy and they're ready to be your best friend and they're ready to charge the gates of hell. But they don't work on their root system. And sooner or later, when affliction comes or things don't go the way they want them to, they fall away and their faith peters out. The root system is where it's all about. We cannot, listen to me, look. We cannot base our spiritual journey upon our feelings. We cannot base our life on excitement. We can't base our life on performance or selfishness. We can't base our life on the riches of this world. We can't base our life on being popular. We can't base our life on what culture says, because if we do, sooner or later, we're going to fall away in our faith. We have to be grounded in love. Grounded in love. When you're grounded in love, the love of Jesus, Psalm 1:3 says this. Psalm 1:3 says he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. And that tree will yield its fruit in season, and its leaf will not wither. And whatever that tree does, he will prosper. Rooted in love, the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus and the love of others. Love is the supreme ethic of Christianity. Love is what Christianity is. Without the love of God, you and I wouldn't be here.
The love of God. Love. Can I tell you something? How many of you want people to know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Say yes. If you're a closet Christian, you need to come down here and let me pray for you, okay? We want people to know. You know what the Bible says? How people will know that we're believers in God, that we're believers in Jesus? Not because of the bumper sticker on our car, not because of the political party that we vote for, not because of the cross necklace we wear. The Bible says people will know that we belong to God by the way that we love one another. And sometimes we can't even love one another in the church. Can I hear a good amen? Love, love, everybody shout love. Paul prayed for the church to be strengthened on the inside so they could stay rooted in love. You know why Paul did that? Because Paul knew that it would be harder and harder and harder to continue to choose love when the afflictions and struggles of life came along. I came to Jesus and I thought everything was going to be fine, Palomino horses and blue skies, praise God from now on. But I found out right quick there was still some evil in this world, and God didn't always answer my prayers, and sometimes some people disappointed me, and sometimes some people hurt me, and guess what? Death came along, and sickness came along, and the enemy came along, and you know, all these things happen in my life, and the more that afflictions happen to me, the more tendency I have to move away from love. The more tendencies I have to move away from love. We have this default mode. You have your default mode. I have my default mode. Cody's default mode is when the hockey hits the fan. Cody's default mode is to bow up and just kind of get a little hot-headed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ricky, Cole, Billy. Don't act like you don't know I'm talking. Jake. I know you. Horn. Come on. Carry. When stuff goes wrong in my life, my first default mode is to just bow up, to kind of lose my temper and want to fight and just get a little bit angry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you, your default mode is to revert back to the bitterness that you had growing up. Every time something doesn't go right, every time God doesn't answer your prayers, every time somebody disappoints you, you revert back, default this old bitter attitude, bitter, hateful heart because nobody loves you and you've always been mistreated and your daddy or your mama did you that way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We default to jealousy. Some of you, every time somebody around you gets blessed, sometimes every time anybody around you gets a breakthrough or a prayer answered, you let the spirit of jealousy jump up and get all over you. Fear, some of us, when things go wrong, we default to fear. We lock back and we're scared and we're struggling about everything. See, Paul knew through our own soul and through our own personalities, we would have our own default mode. And Paul is reminding you that when stuff goes wrong, that when people disappoint you, that when you don't get your prayers answered, when you don't understand what's going on, you got to always revert back over here to love. Because if we're rooted in love, if we're rooted in the unconditional, reckless love of God that changes us, that drives out all fear, the love that is the greatest of all the ethics of Christianity, if we would go back to love when the storm's over, we'd still be standing strong, rooted, producing good fruit. Go back to love. To love. See, rooted in love and grounded in love. How many of you know what a grounding rod is? In the church, we have these all this technology. Next door, we had it. Always fear of a short in our electrical system, of lightning striking the building, and it's shorting out everything in here and spending, wasting a lot of money that we've invested here. So we have a grounding rod. They drive a rod 6 to 8 foot in the ground. There's a wire tied to it, and it goes up, and I don't understand, but it's tied into all of our electrical systems so that when a shock comes, when electricity comes, when lightning strikes, rather than blow up the whole system, the power will go down like this and ground it back in the ground, and it will die out. That's why we got to be grounded, rooted, and grounded in love. Because if we're grounded in the love of Jesus, when a shock comes, and how many of you know shocks come in this life? How many of you know the enemy's trying to strike us with lightning and short out our system and short out our emotions and short us out and short out our mind, and we're on end and anxiety and worry and oh my God, and let me go. Boom. But when we're grounded in the love of God, when the shock comes, rather than short out our mind and short out our relationships, it will be driven back down into the love of Jesus Christ, and it won't blow our systems up. Grounded in love doesn't mean that life's not going to hurt. Doesn't mean that you're not going to feel it. Doesn't mean that it just stopped you for a minute. It means it won't destroy you because it's absorbed through the love of God. Love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love is the greatest, y'all. Love is the greatest. Love is the greatest healer. The greatest healer. Love is the greatest friend. Love is the greatest guide because it guides us in all truth. Love is the greatest uniter. It unites us. Love is the greatest commandment. Love is the greatest truth. Love is the greatest deliverer. Love is the greatest. But I got to tell you before we quit today what love is not. Because in the world we live in today, they try to tell us that love means we must endorse everybody and everything. They tell us today, if you love everything all the time, you got to, if you don't love, you hate. If you don't love LGBTQ plus lifestyle, then you hate them. If you don't love abortion, then you hate that. If you don't love, that is absolutely incorrect, and it's the enemy trying to get us messed up in our mind and saying if we're going to love everybody, we have to endorse everything everybody does. That is not love. Love is truth. Love doesn't mean that we will always be politically correct. Like, I love my kids, but if my kids do wrong, I will jerk a knot in their tail. It doesn't feel good to me, and it doesn't feel good to them, but true love will not allow them to go down a trail that leads to destruction and harm. Love means that it doesn't mean avoiding hurting someone's feelings. Love hurts. Can I hear a good amen? Love is not remaining silent. Some of us have taken the stance of, I love, so I'm going to be silent. Love is speaking the truth. Can I tell you, and I'm going to quit with this, maybe. Let me thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. That's love. That's love. Everybody shout love. Love. It's love. But you know what? You know what the cross really is? It's grace and it's truth. And when grace and truth come together and kiss one another, that's when love is revealed. Because the cross is grace. The cross is saying to sinners like you and I, come to me, I will give you forgiveness. Come to the cross, be cleansed in the blood. Come over here, receive eternal life, and it's absolutely free to you. That's the grace of God. But on the other side of the cross is truth. And you know what truth says? Truth says in the sacrificial ways of God, something has to die in order for this person to have free salvation. Something has to die. Some blood has to be shed. There has to be a sacrifice. And the problem with us in the church nowadays is we just won't talk about the grace and we won't talk about the free stuff, and we forget that it was a sacrifice and it cost God everything he had. It cost him his only begotten son. Grace that's free, blood that's shed, grace and mercy kissing one another, that equals love. That equals love. And we got to be rooted and grounded in love. Conrad, come help me close this, please. Grace and truth together is love. Love. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or think. Love can do far more abundant above and beyond all that we can ask or think. Love. Everybody shout love. Love can do more. Love can cover more. Love can cast out all sin. Love can cast out all fear. Love can unite. Love can redeem. Love can change. We got to be grounded and rooted in love. Let me ask you to stand on your feet with me today, and let's just bow our heads and close our eyes, because we'll go back over quickly. Paul walks in humility. And I would just challenge you today right now to make up in your mind and maybe say a little prayer, Lord, help me walk in humility. Where we might be a little prideful, where we might be a little arrogant. As we humble ourselves, God will begin to strengthen us on the inside. Strengthen us so we can stay rooted in love. And so I pray today, God, for the men and women in this room who maybe are not right on center. They're not right rooted in love. Maybe things have happened. Situations have gone on and they got a little off course. Lord, I pray your spirit would push us back and we would submit. We would go back to being rooted and grounded in love. Loving you and loving others. Maybe we've been shocked. Boom, it's hit our life. And we're arrayed right now. We're all jacked up and messed up. Lord, I pray as we come back to you, we drive that grounding rod down again. And this will be the last time that we'd ever let a shock in life destroy us completely. Because we're grounded in the love of God. Holy Spirit, speak to us and challenge us. Let us love better. Let us love God today. Some of us need to love God by repenting of our sins. We say we love God, but our actions don't show that we love God. And if we love God, we need to repent of our sins and repent of our selfishness and come back to God. Show God. Demonstrate our love to God. Maybe it's to others. We need to demonstrate our love to others around us. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, speak. Let us be grounded and founded in living in your love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's close with worship.